Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by AutoTrader. Credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. You can crunch the numbers so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. So leave the calculator at home. Visit AutoTrader.com to learn more.
Bel Air, episode 3, Yamacraw, is over, but we are just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. It's Chappelle again, and I have a lot of thoughts about this episode. Thankfully, I'm joined once again by the resident Carlton Banks of this podcast, fresh off a birthday, my bruv, Puya. Puya, what's happening?
You keep coming in with the slander. You do realize the more you do this, the more I'm going to send you pictures of him.
We could have ended this, and then you didn't stop. Last time we talked about this, I was like, Puya, okay, cool. Just don't send me any more pictures. And you have not stopped. You found different pictures. I don't want to see his face. I want to punch him.
Yeah, no. Our text thread is essentially pictures of Carlton now and nothing else.
You are bullying me. Like, I feel attacked.
Listen, one of these days, we're going to meet up IRL. And first of all, that's going to be a blast. It's going to be great.
Our best day ever.
Second of all, I'm going to make him your phone wallpaper. That's the plan now. That's the move for me.
Okay. Look, in the meantime, can we call it even so I don't have to keep calling you the Carlton? Because I've been dying to call you my Jazz or my Jeffrey, something. But like, you got to be the Carlton as long as I keep getting Carlton picks.
Listen, I will cease fire until I listen to the intro for episode 4. And then we'll decide what's happening from there.
All right, sounds good, but I don't like that funny business, so keep it cool. But Puya, what did you think about this episode? Before we jump in, anything that you want to catch everybody up on? Anything new that you thought about?
Yo, they really gave us more depth to some of these characters, more insight. It was serious tone, but also, you know, for our protagonist, for our main, Will, it was a good ep. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, for the most part, this was a good episode, but I mean, the end has me with an eyebrow raised and a little worried. And so, yeah, we will get to that shortly. But again, thank you all for listening. You know, like we said last time, check us out, follow us on, you know, on Apple and Spotify, and subscribe to the podcast, Post Show Recaps or Ben Show Recaps. And I think, Puya, I still don't think our Bel Air feed is up yet. Have you checked that yet?
Yes. If you go to postshowrecap.com/Bel Air, BELAIR, on your phone, I believe, it'll redirect you to your pod feed to get the feed for the podcast. So I checked. I set myself up. I got our feed up. So it looks to be there. I don't think there's a page on the website yet for it. But if you follow that link, postshowrecaps.com/Bel Air, BELAIR, you should get our dedicated feed. But as always, if you can leave reviews in any of the platforms mentioned, Post Show, Bin Show, Bel Air, feel free to do so. Let the people know how you feel, because we're loving it. We're having a good ass time.
Yeah, but throw us a bone. Go follow us on wherever you get your podcast and leave us a review. 5-star reviews only, because that's, you know, that's the kind of vibe we're on right now. And then, you know, tell us something good. Tell us what you want to talk about. Ask some questions, and we will try to work that into the show. But Puya, are you ready to jump into this episode?
100%.
All right, cool. Well, you know, the last episode ended with Will being apprehended for having drugs mysteriously appear in his bag. So it's only right that this episode starts with Will and Carlton being interrogated about where exactly those drugs came from. Now, while I'm sure no one is shocked to see Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv upset with Will here, Puya, how did you feel seeing Carlton also being in the hot seat? Because was this a surprise to you?
Yo, I mean, we know where the bodies are buried here. We know who done this. They don't, but the fact that they're sussing Carlton gives me everything I need to know about how they feel about the dynamic between these two. Carlton was getting grilled just as bad as Will. And it's very interesting because it's clear that Will, and I'm curious to know what you think. Who do you think was interviewed or interrogated first between the two? I imagine, personally, it was Will first. That's where they got the Carlton sus, and then they brought Carlton into the room later.
Yeah, it's got to be that. It's got to be that, like, they initially were like, Will, what the F? And then after Will is like, it wasn't me. If I'm lying, I'm flying. I put it on my mom. I put it on West Philly, blah, blah. Then they're like, okay, well, he seems adamant. He did put it on his mom in West Philly. So maybe there's something there. And, you know, he even mentions, well, if it's not Connor, the only other person I can consider this being is Carlton. So for them to bring in Carlton, yeah, I think that was the right move. Well, we know that was the right move. But also, I was happy to see it because till now, I've been thinking that they've been really lenient on Carlton in a lot of these moments. And it seems like they're starting to share the wealth a little bit when it comes to these punishments.
I mean, if you have a kid that's, you know, behaving well and, you know, any problems he might have or any friction he's causing with other people happens outside of their house. So the parents won't really know, right? But this is under their roof. They know something's up. They know the friction's real. So they start, you know, grilling Carlton rightfully. And, you know, Carlton doesn't need to give us more reasons to not like him. But then when he's being shady with Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil about, like, yeah, well, turns out people think less of him since he attacked us. So, stop. You're putting blame on your own cousin and defending Connor. In what world is this the move for you? That's family, bro.
Well, that's what Carlton says, too. Like, I would never do this to Will. After all, that's family. And at that point, I'm like, all right, now stop everything. Like, Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv should just pull him to the side and be like, okay, it's you. You did it. Because at what point has he ever cared about Will being his family to this moment? Like, at any point in the three episodes, we've never seen him even, like, remotely show a familial bond with him. But now, all of a sudden, he's family. I call shenanigans, Puya.
Oh, it's big sus. Big sus. That should be the red flag that goes up. Oh, you were nice to Will? You definitely did it. We know you did it now. But, hey, listen. In the heat of the moment, they clearly believe both of the kids, right? They believe both of them, I think. And that's when we see Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv in action. They were ready to get all the answers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The investigation was inconclusive, I guess, for the meantime. But the next morning, they let Will and Carlton know that the entire family, including Carlton, is dedicated to getting to the bottom of this, whether you like it or not. And so, you know, they're going to figure this out regardless of who's pushing back, who's lying. They're going to get to the bottom of it. And so, yeah, if they threatened, you know, both of them and says, like, if there's any foul play, there will be serious consequences. So we know they mean business here. We also find out that Will gets in-school suspension. Now, Puya, I know you were born in Dubai, and technically you're Iranian-American by nationality, and you went to British school, and you went to Canadian school, you went to Iranian school. Puya, do you have in-school suspension in your past schooling background? Like, is this something that you're familiar with?
Okay, first of all, bye, Pitbull. Mr. Worldwide is now my title.
That's you.
It's me. No, we definitely did have in-school suspension. I remember specifically, there were a couple kids in, one was a kid in like a lower grade than me, the one was a kid higher than me. Literally once a year at least, I'd see them get suspended in school. And the way they did it was they would pull a table and chair out of one of the classes and put it like right next to the principal's office. And they had to pull up and sit there pretty much in reception and do all their schoolwork there. But like that was for, you know, shenanigans. Maybe they got into a fight with somebody or they instigated, not for possession of drugs. I felt like if this was the consequence, Will got off light because he's still part of the team, right? He doesn't get suspended from his team at all. It's just in school suspension. He's just in a classroom with one teacher.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And we definitely had that where I'm from.
Did you ever get suspended?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so, like, make no mistake, I've seen the in-school suspension room twice, and I've been outside suspended as well. But whatever, we don't have to get into that. This isn't about me. But yeah, in the moment, I did think, like, for a drug charge, like, this is kind of light. But I'd imagine that, you know, the ripple effect would probably, like, you know, go throughout the school as well. Like, we didn't hear from the coach, but I can imagine that if like, that will be a consequence as well. They just didn't get to it because Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv are already on the case, you know, and trying to get to the bottom of things. But I'd imagine if they hadn't been, you know, so hands-on, this could have been bad for Will, at least in the public eye, you know, like, to be the guy from Philly with the fight and the drugs, it just looks really bad, you know?
Immediately, you're being painted into this picture of what people would have assumed about you anyway, so it's feeding their bias, which you don't want. Because we know Will is none of these things, but we know everything about how anyone that hears his background is painting him into. So I did not love this for him at all. Can we talk about the Connor and Carlton scene when they get to school?
Oh, yeah, of course, because they say we don't want any shenanigans and there will be consequences. But Carlton knows I got to go get in front of this thing. And so he goes and confronts Connor about the situation. And he's basically like, look, if my parents figure this out, that I'm connected to this in any way, we're dead. My dad is a super attorney and my mom is a black mom from Philly. This ain't going to work out for us. And from what I know about black moms, I got some experience with that. And also black moms from Philly. Carlton's 100% correct. They are in danger if they don't get this thing figured out, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And I definitely, you know, having a brown mom, for me, Persian mom, there's some overlap in the way things go. You do not make them mad. You do not piss them off. And then most importantly, you do not hurt their babies, because they will get justice on you. And it was so funny seeing Connor be all confident and essentially say, we're not going to get caught. I made sure of it. Everything's fine. And Carlton's like, are you nuts? Like, my dad found 5 LAPD cover-ups. Like, my dad did all that. My mom is mad. And then you can see quickly Carter's face starts to panic. And he's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Carlton says, our solution is we have to free Will. We have to exonerate him, essentially. Yeah, free Willy.
Yeah, exactly. Free Willy style. But here's the thing. Connor's privilege was showing there, because you can tell he ain't never been in trouble before. And Carlton's like, you don't know what you're dealing with here. Like, this is not your, like, oh, your friend's next door's parents. Like, this is the guy running for district attorney. Are you kidding me?
Well, who did he say his dad knew, like a federal judge last time, right? He said that's how he got the restraining order. So
yeah,
I think
like
he
that.
Thinks if anything happens, I got backup. But I think when Carlton pointed out my dad has, like, you know, taken down LAPD cover-ups, like, he will find things within the legal system that are wrong. You will not be able to get away with this one. It was humbling for Connor, but yeah, I agree. His privilege was showing out his neck. It was too much.
Yeah, and I think Carlton even says, like, my dad made them cry in interrogation. Like, that's different. That's a different type of flex. So, yeah, this was a good scene. I enjoyed it. But I also don't love that Carlton's trying to get away with this. But we'll see where that leads eventually. In the meantime, Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil are on the case, right? They meet with the principal of the school and the nature of the investigation. They want to know, like, what's going on. But from the moment the principal started to recount the events of how they were getting to the bottom of this, Puya, it sounded fishy to me, like shenanigans, shenanigans, shenanigans. Puya, do you remember what the principal said they did to find Will guilty in this moment?
They gave us a bunch of BS is what they did. The principal said that they kind of got a couple accounts from other students about Will and a couple of, like, the faculty. They essentially got a character profile from, like, hearsay and decided good enough. When and Viv then pushes back and says, well, we just walked in here and I saw 15 cameras on the way to your office. Have you checked the footage? Because Will says it wasn't him. And they said, no, we didn't check the footage. And this was my favorite Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil scene so far. The fit they threw in this office was phenomenal.
Yeah, and necessary. How do you like try to pin drugs on somebody and be like, yeah, we just asked around what people thought about him in the week that they've known him since they saw him go viral beating up the lacrosse team. Mm-hmm. And we decided that that was good enough. We'll just believe Connor and all and Carlton's friends. And we know Carlton is the king of this castle in a way. So there's no way this is credible sources, but the principal just went with it. And so, yeah. Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv had to show their ass because it got things done. You know, like they gave him 24 hours. You will pull the footage. And I think the thing is that the principal says like, oh, do you know how long it would take for us to pull the footage? Like it would take a week or so. Like this is a week to clear this man's name. And you won't even do that. What I'm talking about.
You have one day of the week to look at, right? You will know which day you confiscated the drugs. And a school day is what? Like, let's say from 8 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., all the way to like 2, 3 p.m. That is not a lot of footage. You double speed that shit, you're done. You're done quick. I mean, as someone who's sat through and watched footage at a bagel store to see like who stole whatever, it don't take that long. This principle is full of it.
Yeah, Puya, we watch Big Brother live feeds as a living. Like, we will sit there and just, like, watch people eat cereal and talk to each other just so we can hear who's the target next week on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. You can do this, and it doesn't take all of that. But I'm like, the principal is, you know, he's on the payroll, you know? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who got to him or how Connor and Carlton did it, but the principal is definitely in on the scam because there's no reason why this should be happening.
Well, I think, you know, it's one of those situations where I think the worry for the principal is, well, what if it's one of the kids that, you know, their family invests in the school and now we lose a donor because we got to like expel them if they get caught, right? It's kind of like that. And it's also we're going to take the easy route. It's easier said right now. You know, we didn't have any incidents. There was just some drugs found. No one has clearly had any harm done to them. So we'll just sweep it under the rug and move on and not have everyone's noses in our business, which is very unprofessional, which is why I loved how crude and how they came in with the cuss words with Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil. I was like, he deserves this. Give this man all of that.
Yeah, they lined him up. And then shortly after, they marched right into the in-school suspension room and got Will free. And, you know, Will is very, you know, thankful in this moment. He's just like, y'all keep moving mountains for me. And Uncle Phil says, well, we're ready to see you start climbing those mountains. And so I love that moment. But Puya, you know what isn't necessarily racially charged, but felt racially charged to me? The moment when the teacher decides that he's going to shoot the paper ball into the trash can and say swish like it was a basketball. Look, basketball is not exclusive to Black kids or inner city Black kids or whatever.
Yep.
But I'm just saying that felt a little racist, you know?
It really did. It was like, you know, all I was missing is he'd put another one through and said Kobe, you know, like it was like, what are you doing, sir? And like, again, this is the gall of this teacher who has a student who was never going to speak back and says this. It definitely felt fishy, but Will did get to swish it right back to his face, which was great.
Yeah. It just, that moment did not sit right with me. And I'm like, look, I know it's not necessarily racially charged, but at least it's tacky at the very least, you know? Didn't love that at all. After Will is freed, we see that he and Lisa end up reconnecting at lunch. And he's telling Lisa like, hey, now that Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv are on the case, we're going to figure out that Connor is behind this because they're going to review the tapes and it's probably him. But Lisa warns him that Connor has some pull and we shouldn't hold our breaths on getting any actual justice, which is so triggering. But, you know, in the meantime, the two continue to flirt because when they're around each other, they just can't help each other. The chemistry there is so palpable. But it does look like Will has a new fan club, and I get the sense that Lisa might be a little jealous of his new popularity with the women of the school, don't you think?
It's the classic trope, Chappelle. The girl you're crushing on, that's crushing on you, who doesn't want to get involved in something complex, says, we're just good friends. And you're like, yeah. And then two other people show up, and they show interest. Suddenly, she's looking at you a little different. She's like, ooh, I don't know if I can just give that up. That's what I got. The vibe I got immediately was Lisa clearly only says she wants to be friends because of the beef with Carlton. Very clearly they have something special between them. And I would like to see that get pursued. Because quite frankly, I want Will with Lisa. I don't want Will with some other random. I think Lisa's his person. I don't want him going anywhere else. But he's got fans. That we know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, they flock in now, and Lisa can tell, you know, and it's the thirst for her that's really just driving her crazy. They want Will's attention, but, you know, he still only has eyes for Lisa. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if I feel like they should be together because that Carlton thing is always going to be messy. I don't know if there's a way where that can happen in a neat type bow, but right. What do you think?
I mean, I think that that Carlton aspect, them being friends is already going to cause that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whether they're friends or they're dating is still going to cause that problem. I think what could be triggering for Carlton is if he sees PDA, which very clearly he did at the pool that one night. Yeah. So as long as they're not PDA in front of him, I think the beef is staying the exact same level. For sure. Yeah.
Sneaky link time. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. We'll end up inviting Lisa to the basketball game, and she says she might stop by after a swim meet, but in the midst of all this flirting, she accidentally gets mustard on his school uniform blazer, and Puya, I know you love this moment. Iconic, right?
I lost my mind, Chappelle, because immediately I thought, oh, he's just going to be, you know, rocking with no jacket, and then once he looked at the inside, I said, oh my God, he's going to do the reversal. And it looked so good. I always thought when we saw the original, why isn't everybody doing the reversal if he's allowed to? It's so flipping stylish. There's no reason to wear the blazer any other way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the move. Will is making a name for himself in basketball, but now he's got his own flair to everything, you know, like people aren't going to love this, but Will is, I mean, he's so good and charismatic that this works for him. And I don't think anybody else has the swagger to pull it off, you know, but I love this moment too. I was like, Puya's probably yelling at the screen right now. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Back at the crib, Hillary and like Aunt Viv are talking, and Hillary is so stoked. She's like, Aunt Viv, mom, I guess, you know, like, I'm so proud of the way you and dad like rolled up on the principal, and y'all were like a power couple. Y'all had Will's back, and Aunt Viv is like, it's the right thing to do, which I will put a pin in, because, you know, it seems like Aunt Viv likes to do the right thing. So it's very interesting to me, the conflict that we'll see throughout this episode with her and Hillary. Aunt Viv ends up asking Hillary about like catering this event for her sorority. And it starts off light, like, oh, it's just some finger foods, but then it becomes lamb sliders, charcuterie, crab cakes that with a secret sauce that take 4 hours to prepare. You have to overnight, like, marinate it. Like it's like, what is she making? Polyjuice potion? You gotta wait till full moon to get this thing going. but Hillary at first is like, what? She's a little reluctant, but eventually she gives in. And she also, and Viv ends up also telling Hillary that she could use this opportunity to show off her food and the network amongst the sorority sisters, because I think it's Delta Phi Gamma is the sorority, and they're well connected, and this could be a big moment for her. Now, fun fact, Puya, the actress that plays light skin Aunt Viv from the original Fresh Prince, she's not a member of this sorority, but she's a member of a different sorority called Delta Sigma Theta. So I do think that might be a shout to that, but that's a story from another time. Yeah. But how do you feel about Hillary's reaction to Aunt Viv's request about the food?
I feel like this was the start of something we do see quite a bit of in this episode. I mentioned earlier about the complexity coming out of some of the characters. This is going to be a point of friction in this season. Mm-hmm. Very clearly, Aunt Viv versus Hillary is going to be the undercard to Carlton versus Will. And it's fascinating because I think, again, and I explained this last time, I feel like I understand both sides. I understand the pushback from Hillary. I understand the push from Aunt Viv. And I just feel like Hillary has this certain air of, I want to be self-made. I want to do me. I want to choose the menu myself. I don't want you to give me a menu that I have to then just obey and follow. I want to make the menu myself. And it's part of her process, right? I think she wants creative control over her cuisine. And I feel like when other people keep suggesting what she should do, then it takes some of the parts of it that give her passion away from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely feels like this is her baby. And if it is like trying to control the baby, and no, like you said earlier, you can't harm somebody's baby. You know what I'm saying? these black and brown parents don't do well with that. And so, yeah, there's definitely some friction here, and we'll explore it throughout this episode for sure. In the library later on at school, we see Will telling Carlton that some random witness that doesn't, like, basically said that somebody who doesn't even go to the school admitted to putting the drugs in Will's bag, or they caught them putting the drugs in Will's bag. Regardless here, it doesn't seem like they're going to pull the cameras, and Carlton says, that's awesome, you know, but Will Will seems to see right through this because, you know, with this anonymous tip, they'll never pull the cameras and they'll never know if it was really Connor or Carlton or one of the other friends that had anything to do with this. And it's like, dang, Connor got away with it again, huh? Like the privilege. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened was, I guess a witness came forward and said they saw a guy who doesn't even go to their school put the drugs in the bag. And again, the school was like, oh, just another Wednesday. Cool. All right, lunch. Like, they're just like, we're not going to review this footage. Screw that. And Will's not okay with this. Like, he's free, but he's not okay. He wants the justice. He wants the person who did this. Because again, this person jeopardized Will's reputation, Will's new beginning, fresh start, by pulling this BS. And Carlton's like, listen, just take the win. Trust me. And again, this is that air of like cockiness from Carlton of like, you don't want to know what you're messing with. And Will, we know Will. He doesn't take shit sitting down. He's not someone who's just like, okay, I'm just going to do what you tell me. Will do things on his term, and he is not okay with the ending to this story.
Right. And this is exactly what Lisa warned him of, like, right? Like, don't hold your breath. But Puya, do you think we will ever get to the bottom of what really happened, or is this just the end of this? Are we putting a pin in this for later on?
That is a great question. You know, I think if the downfall of Connor was to come through, I could see this coming back again. Now, could other things happen? Yes. This just felt like, you know, it was the cliffhanger ending to episode 2. I just don't see it not paying any more dividends beyond like the first 20 minutes of episode 3. I don't. It has to come back. For sure.
Man, I hope so. I hope so. Eventually, we get the dynamic duo here. Uncle Phil and Jeffrey playing pool. Are you a pool guy? You a pool guy?
Oh, yeah. I love a good pool sesh. I do love a good pool sesh.
Okay, because I know you're a big Jeffrey fan. We talked about wanting more Jeffrey. One day we'll have to shoot pool for you. It'll be a good time.
Oh, can't wait.
But yeah, but as you know, it's suspected after the last episode, we talked about this. I kind of threw it out there. I think Uncle Phil was doing that big boy interview, you know, because he was losing sight of his Black voting population.
Yes,
you know, for this campaign, and it seems like it's true. But of course, he's talking to his boy Jeffrey about it, and Jeffrey reminds him that he does live in a mansion in Bel Air. So maybe he isn't the most in touch with, you know, the Black people, because that can't be that diverse of a community. Uncle Phil ends up deciding that what he's going to do to fix this is to go to the Alpha Phi Alpha crawfish boil to win over the support of Mr. Reverend Lamont, who I guess he has the ear of the alphas, who have the ear of the Black community. And if he can get the alphas back in his pocket, then he'll be good here for the Black voters. And so, Puya, what did you think about this interaction between Jeffrey and Uncle Phil?
So the first thing I want to point out is I'm still very curious what Jeffrey's role is here, because through 3 episodes, it just seems like he's Uncle Phil's buddy that just lives with them. I don't get anything else beyond that first ep where he was doing his like house management duties. He's just chilling. This is the best job in the world to me. He's drinking whiskey, listening to Tribe, playing pool. It's a good vibe here. But then as far as Uncle Phil goes, we did discuss last episode how the big boy interview was pretty much every caller was asking about his finances. And he clearly has understood that and has figured, I need to rekindle my relationship with, you know, the community that I not left behind, but that I've probably not been in tune with for a long time now. So this crawfish boil is going to be the beginning of that. And I guess to this point, I didn't realize how strained that relationship may be. I thought, okay, just going to go to the crawfish boil, is going to talk up with people. They're going to be like, oh, it's nice to have you back. Wasn't quite like that, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, I have some insight on that when we get there, but we got some other things to discuss as well. We see Carlton and Lisa are also reconnecting. And while I hate Carlton with my entire soul and my entire being, I have to respect the drip. I was like, okay, the green like thing that he had going on, like I was like, okay, I'm going to Google this. Maybe it might be in my price range because I could wear that. But he's looking clean. He's trying to charm his way into Lisa's good graces. He ends up apologizing for the drama about, you know, the stuff with her and Will and not being his best self. He says seeing her with Will destroyed him. And during the conversation, it does seem like his charm is working a little bit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is what Lisa's warned Will about. Carlton is charismatic. Carlton has a way with his words, and he can be charming when he wants to be. And it's very effective here as well. What we do learn from this conversation is that both Lisa and Carlton were there for each other during a very hard time in their lives. So he was there when her mother passed away. Yes. And she was there for him during his big anxiety sessions he was having. And she still does care about him, but it's fascinating because you can clearly tell Carlton is someone who can just turn on the everything's normal when he wants to, and then be a complete clown when he wants to, and there's no in between. I went back to look at the drip that you mentioned.
Yeah,
I could mess with it. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. You know, I hate him, but I mean, I gotta tip my hat. You know, but that's a good point, and especially the anxiety thing. Like, now Lisa's mom passed away, and Carlton was there for her in that moment. And of course, grief is not something that just goes away, and so it's probably great to have that support system. But anxiety is something that you don't just like wake up one day and you no longer have anxiety, right? Like, it's probably like a constant struggle, and so. Yeah. You know, up to this point, I've been accusing Carlton of doing coke casually before school, but this might be Xanax, you know, because that's what Xanax is for. Right. It's just that, like, you know, I feel like it's not working. You know, like, I feel like maybe the side effects here of the Xanax snorting are starting to take effect on Carlton, and maybe he just needs to go to therapy. We might see that at some point, but this was illuminating. You know, I'm still wondering what the big secret is with Carlton and, like, why he's in this dark place. But right now it feels like, okay, at least Lisa was able to give us some info, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, as far as the anxiety with him goes, because like anxiety is something that we deal with a lot often. It can be big anxiety, little anxiety, like it comes in all shapes and forms. Now, my question is, the way she says it implies that something caused him to have a lot of it at a period of time. And I want to know what caused it, because whatever that was big enough that like, she took notice of it, and like he needed her there, right? So I'm curious if we're gonna find out what that is. I have to imagine we will. And it's fascinating, these two, because Lisa's not completely cutting Carlton out of her life, and Carlton's not let go of his, you know, connection to Lisa. But then Will has just been kind of added into the mix. And while Lisa's single, I think Carlton's clearly trying to get her back, and Will and Lisa have something brewing. So if anything, this is going to make Carlton feel a lot heavier than he may have before Will got here.
Yeah, this might be the thing that like draws them back together from his point of view. Because from what we've seen, right, like lately, like we haven't really seen them two interact. This is like our first real interaction where they're not like butting heads. And so I'm wondering what that's going to lead to. But definitely curious about what sent Carlton into the, like, you know, this spiral that he's in right now.
Yes.
Yeah. But back at home, Uncle Phil approaches Will about the ongoing investigation, and he gives him The Alchemist to read. It's a story about a boy who decides to follow his heart and pursue his personal legend, blah, blah, blah. But hopefully Will will read it. But in the meantime, Uncle Phil asks him to come help out at the Alpha Phi Alpha crawfish boil. But when Uncle Phil ends up leaving the room, Will gets a notification that looks like a threat from back in Philly. And I was wondering how long it would take before Philly started to follow Will to L.A. Puya.
I mean, this is one of those things with shows, right, where, you know, other shows may have done it where we'll be thinking, well, he's a teenager in high school. How is he not on Insta Live? How is he not putting like Insta stories up? And this is clearly an Instagram notification, and it's a DM from like an anonymous account that said something along the lines of, you better have a vest when we get you. With like the water gun emoji and like the bullseye emoji. So I think at this point they don't know where he is, because he might not be updating his statuses, but they've essentially reached out to him on Insta saying, watch your back. We haven't forgotten where, like, that we need to find you and track you down.
Yeah, and that's definitely a big difference between this series and like the original Bel Air lore, right? Because like we know that it wasn't as complicated as like a shooting and all, you know, a gun situation in the first iteration of this story. But like they also didn't have access to Will Smith in the 90s. Like, if he left Philly and went to LA, unless they had his phone number or his address, there's no finding him.
Yeah, they're not getting the local newspaper. They're not going to get, they're not going to be like keeping an eye on all 50 states. They're just going to be focusing in on Philly, which last episode, Trey did tell us that they think he's still somewhere in Philly. So,
exactly.
But the digital footprint's real, dude. It's real.
It is. It really is. And, you know, like, all it takes is one geotag or, you know, one post and, you know, that can blow up your whole spot. And so right now he feels like he's safe. But like I said, in the first iteration, this would not have been an issue at all.
Nope.
Yeah. So Carlton is getting ready to head to the crawfish boil as well, but not before talking to his mom about the relationship with him and Will. He says it's hard to love someone that he doesn't know, and he can't get to know Will because Will doesn't respect him. Puya, who does Carlton think he is? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, Carlton talking about respect is rich.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, should Will just respect you because he showed up here? Like, you're 16 years old. I don't know if you missed that, but you're not. Do you pay all the bills?
It's not your roof. It's not your roof.
What did I miss here? So, yeah, that was annoying. Again, you try to give him some credit for the drip, and then he goes and says something like this.
I mean, you can dress great and still be a whole ass. So,
yeah,
you know, sometimes the drip is a good mask.
That's true. It's working. Just for a second, and then now I'm out. But Aunt Viv says to Carlton, like, he will always be her first priority, and she knows he will be able to figure out things with Will. And so this does make Carlton feel a little bit better, but these words might come back to bite her later on, it feels. In the meantime, the two discuss how Carlton is so excited because he gets to meet with Henry Miles about a possible internship at the Crawfish Boil. But much to Carlton's like dismay, of course, he finds out that Will is coming too. And ouch, Puya, because we talked about the jealousy, right? We talked about how Carlton is looking at Uncle Phil and Will bonding over basketball. But now, you know, Uncle Phil is inviting Will to an event that seems like it's normally like a father-son situation that they do. And so Carlton cannot be enjoying this, right?
No. He's definitely very livid about this situation. And I mean, you know, he's never been in a position where he has had to share his dad's time, right? His dad's time is scarce, but when he gets his dad time, it's just him and Uncle Phil. And that's rapidly changing. Now, Will is being invited to the crawfish boil, which Carlton does say, this is what me and you do every year. This is not an event for just like a random third. It makes it less special. And, you know, obviously with all the other stuff that's going on, he feels like they are now actively prioritizing someone else over him. And it doesn't help that they also say that they're excited about Will's basketball game. And then Carlton's like, yeah, and my lacrosse game as well, same time.
They're like, oh, and, yeah, that too.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, we'll definitely come to lacrosse. Which, like, no offense to Carlton, okay?
Now,
no offense to the lacrosse fans out there. Liana is a lacrosse player. Liana loves lacrosse.
Okay.
Personally, I would 100% go watch a basketball game before I watch a lacrosse game. I feel like it's, you know, especially with sports, if the ball is bigger, I'm more likely to pay attention to it. I've gone and watched hockey like in a proper stadium. You can't see the puck. It's so difficult to keep an eye on it. Baseball, not for me. Lacrosse would have the same vibe in that you'd have to have like your eye on it the whole time. Whereas with basketball, you know, I'm watching. Ooh, alley-oop, sick. Dunk, sick. Crossover, sick. Bite into my sandwich, look back, still going on, know where the action is exactly. If I blink, I miss the hockey puck. I can't keep up. So,
yeah.
Carlton, you got to know which sport you signed up for, you know? You just got to know.
Yeah. No, like, yeah, it's seriously. And then, like, this is, even if they did miss this game, like, this is one game. This is Will's first game, you know?
It's
like,
his debut.
Yeah, let him live. Because Will does have the game against Malibu, and Carlton, like you said, has the game at the same exact time. And so the family agrees that they'll do half at Will's game and half at Carlton's game. And so he's annoyed by this. But Uncle Phil hopes that by forcing these two to volunteer at the crawfish boil together, it'll draw them closer.
Yeah, and he's scheduled them so that they have to work side by side at the event, which sneaky, Uncle Phil, but I like it. And Viv does say something along the lines of, well, either they get along or they'll kill each other. And then Uncle Phil's like, well, that solves our problem either way.
Right. Like, if they both dead, then we ain't got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Which is a funny statement, but, you know, we get the point. Speaking of Tribe, right? The next scene opens with Electric Relaxation by Tribe Called Quest, and I'm like, here we go again. I love this, right? This soundtrack is so good. I'm hoping there's more Tribe coming. But this is the scene that leads us to the Crawfish Boil, where we see Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated and everyone calling Uncle Phil Yamacraw. So as we discussed last time, Uncle Phil is from Yamacraw, North Carolina, and so that's where he got his nickname. His goal here is to meet with Reverend Lamont and talk about getting this endorsement for his campaign. But Reverend Lamont like quickly blows him off. And Will notices this. Like, Will can tell that, like, something's not right here. And we find out, of course, that, you know, Uncle Phil's nickname is just because he came from a small place. Now, Puya, I am very familiar with this fraternity. Are you familiar with the Alphas?
Honestly, my fraternity knowledge is close to zero. Like, I've heard the names here and there, but I don't know any of the history, the lore, the background, the significance. So this is all your department. I'm here as a student.
All right. Well, I will give you the slightly biased but quick version of what the Alphas are in relationship to my organization. So basically, there's like there are 9 black, like predominantly black organizations and Greek organizations that are kind of tied together through like just history and their like their found like. Basically their foundational principles and all this stuff. Like, but there's a big 9, right? They call them the Divine 9, and the Alphas were the first of that 9, right? So they are the first organization, and then like all the other ones are like kind of like came up after them up until they
they're the first.
They closed the door. They are the first, right? But my organization, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, I'm always wearing the purple, always posting about the Q-Dogs. Shout out to Shaquille O'Neal giving us the shout out at the All-Star game with the hooks up. You know, we are the superior organization here, obviously. But, this is kind of like, I won't say a rival organization, but like, you know, a different organization that does the same work, right? It's all for the like betterment of Black people. And one thing that I know that in my work with fraternities and stuff in the past and in education is that like predominantly white organizations typically just are like for the duration of college. So they go to school, and then while they're in school, they rush and they have their littles and their bigs and they do community service and all this other stuff, events, and then they graduate and then they just like, oh, I'm a part of this organization. Well, for the Black organizations, it was very much always about like furthering the Black community even after college, right? So they build their numbers in undergrad, but then once they graduate, the work still continues. And so a lot of these organizations are still built on like community service. So like I often have to go meet with local chapters and do service and donate to things and stuff like that because it gets us involved. And the Alphas, like I said, they were the first. And so I will give them a lot of credit because there are a lot of powerful members Alpha Phi Alpha, including Martin Luther King Jr. and several other people, right? And so all that to say. And so in this moment, this event is more like them like coming together and fellowshipping and kind of getting like that brotherhood going, because even after you graduate from college, it's still a thing, right? But it seems like Uncle Phil has lost touch with this just a bit. He ends up linking with Derek, his frat brothers, and the two of them kind of reconnect. And we find out it's been a while since Uncle Phil has been around. Like, he's been too busy. But he assures Derek that he still hasn't forgot about the frat. And it seems good enough for Derek. He ends up asking, you know, Uncle Phil, like, okay, well, we got these volunteers, Will and Carlton. Maybe they can come help me with the tables and chairs, right? But Will seems like he's down. He's down to work. He's down to do his best job here. But Carlton seems uncharacteristically reluctant to help. And I say uncharacteristic because all we heard last episode was Carlton has this charm and this selfishness, and he remembers selflessness, and he remembers everybody's name and all this other stuff. But here, he has no interest in moving the chair. So what happened to that, Carlton Puya?
I mean, he wants to pick up his ball and go home now that there's someone else at the playground. He's like, no, I don't want this. I don't want this at all. But I don't understand it. You'd think, because he is very much about the one-upsmanship. So you'd think he'd be like, I'm going to do the chair so good. Wills are going to look like crap. But no, he's just being salty. I think this is just him vying for Uncle Phil's attention. He wants Uncle Phil to go up to him and be like, what's wrong, my son? And then like Uncle Phil, he'd be like, Dad, like, I don't like that, you know, cousin Will is here, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that's what he wants, or that's kind of what he's defaulting to is what I'm getting.
Right, right. Because he's definitely not into it. And you would think, like, somebody who wants to be the prince here, like, you think you would be trying to shine in this moment. Carlton is in high school. One day he will go to college and he will have the opportunity to pledge this very same organization like his dad did. And, you know, it looks good if you've been doing community service with them. Just saying, like, you know. Just saying. But I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later too. The next scene transitions with Love Come Down by Evelyn Champagne King, which is another great song. I was like, yes. But this is where we move over to Aunt Viv and her sorority. And admittedly, I don't know much about this sorority. It's not like a predominantly black one, but it is the one that they're choosing to highlight in this episode. And it's Aunt Viv, like, basically planning the lupus fundraiser. So whereas Uncle Phil has clearly, you know, kind of strayed away from the eyes of Alpha Phi Alpha, Aunt Viv is still thriving in the sorority. And I think she might be a little sauced up off the champagne because she was moving kind of reckless. Did you think Aunt Viv was kind of drunk? Because I thought she was tipsy a little bit.
I mean, I could see her vibing. It is a party after all. You know, I feel like if you're going to a party and you're not kind of feeling yourself a little bit, then maybe that's not the right vibe for you. But no, she's definitely happy to do this. I think she's enjoying herself doing this. And this is clearly something that's very important to her as well.
Yeah, and we find out that Aunt Viv used to be a superstar in the art community, right? But then she got pregnant with Hillary. And it seems like that is what forced her to put her dreams on hold, which is cold, Booyah, because, you know, last episode, Hillary was just saying some wild stuff about Aunt Viv. What was it that she said? You put your dreams on hold. What was it?
It was something shady about her, you know, you giving up your artistry to be an art history teacher.
Yeah.
But we find out here she may have given it up to be more available. Yeah. To Hillary. So,
yeah, which is wild. Hillary, come on, man. Chill. But she comes downstairs. Hillary does. And sauced up Aunt Viv tries to basically promote her. It's a bit over the top. I can't lie. She's basically like, this is my daughter. She cooked all this food. Slide in her DMs because she needs a job. I'm tired of her work, like, living off of me. And I was a little embarrassed for her, but we talked about black moms, and that's not outside of my mom's playbook. So I'm, you know, whatever. While all this is happening, you know, back at, you know, the crawfish boil, Will and Carlton are helping move the tables and chairs. Well, now that I say it, Carlton, he wasn't even helping. I think he was on his phone the whole time, right?
Yeah, it looked like Will was doing all the heavy lifting. And Carlton was, I don't know, texting, looking at stock reports. I don't know what Carlton does, to be honest.
Yeah, he's just not even invested in this at all. But he does tell Will that, like, what's up with the beef between Reverend Lamont and Uncle Phil? Because earlier Uncle Phil got blown off so easily, right? Mm-hmm. And so it turns out that Reverend Lamont is a family friend, but Uncle Phil might have gotten too successful for him, Carlton says. He says, like, wealth has a way of attracting envy. But Will says, or maybe the wealthy just lose touch of, you know, the people that they left behind, right? So whose side are we taking here, Puya?
100% Will's, and that has nothing to do with our bias on Carlton, where yes, you know, there is envy out there in the world. Like, you know, people will always be, not all the people, but there's often case, you know, people will be jealous of other people's successes
and on their downfall.
Right. And they you know, they want that for them, and because they didn't have it, no one else can. But then also, if you maintain your humility and you maintain who you are and you, you know, preserve your roots, I feel like that envy might turn into more of a support. So it's like, you know, for example, let's say I get 10,000 followers on Twitch. I'm plus of like whatever I have now. You will be happy for me.
Of course.
If I keep the same energy. But if I start blowing you off and I'm like, I'm sorry, I met all these new like streamer friends that I'm going to be kicking it with. Yeah, it's like, okay, Puya, you're too cool for us now. Now you don't think you're good enough. Or it's like if someone goes on Big Brother and then they come back and they're like, oh, I don't really know who you are anymore. I don't have time for you. It's like, okay, you're getting too big for your like boots. Don't love that energy. So I definitely side with Will on that regard. But also I feel like, you know, in seeing Uncle Phil and the struggle he is having reconnecting with this community, I think Uncle Phil, maybe not through desire to distance himself, just through, you know, time and other commitments, has gotten distant with the community. So he's trying to fix that and put that back together. But Carlton's read of like, yeah, they're all just jealous of us because we're rich. Like that is not enough substance for this claim.
No, not at all. This is just him sneak dissing Will. Like, you just mad because I got money. Like, stop it. Nobody cares about you, Carlton.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
But their conversation is interrupted when Carlton spots the funeral king himself, Henry Miles, right? Apparently, Henry Miles has buried all the high-powered black people, and he sits on the board for the Black Minds Initiative. And this is the internship that Carlton is talking about. Like, this is the reason why he's not engaged, because he can't take his mind off of, like, I'm only here for one thing. You know, like, I don't care about the rest of this. He's so close-minded in this moment, but now he sees his target. And Will says, Carlton, you have nothing to worry about because you're rich and your parents will pay for you to go to whatever college. Like, you don't need this internship. But to Carlton's credit, he does say he doesn't want, like, everything handed to him. Did you like this from Carlton?
Yes. I think this is, again, him vying for the approval of his parents. I think he, you know, everyone likes a good safety net. But I think he wants, he sees how accomplished his dad is, how accomplished his mom is. And he wants to be accomplished in his own right. And I think the best way for him to gain something like that is to be able to get all of the credentials and accolades he can, not through his parents, but through himself. And I think he wants to be self-made, similarly to how Hillary wants to be self-made. I
exactly.
Think the Banks siblings, they want to be self-made, and it's very clear.
Yeah, it definitely mirrors the things going off with Hillary. And speaking of, you know, back at the sorority function, we see the women talking to Hillary about, like, when are you going to pledge the organization? Like, how's Berkeley going? And it seems like they don't know that Hillary is no longer at school. And Viv, like, tries to save face by saying that, no, she just took a gap year. You know, she's just taking time off. But Hillary boldly, just like with her whole chest, says, no, I dropped out of school. Which isn't anything to be ashamed of, but right. There's definitely a way that she probably could have said that in the moment that would have been a little bit more smooth, which wouldn't been so embarrassing for Aunt Viv. What'd you think about the way she handled it?
Well, I definitely feel like, you know, there was no defensive, there was no trying to create a narrative. She just wanted to be her raw, authentic self. And it may come off of, like, too blunt, or maybe you didn't think, but I remember it was my second year of university and I was going back to Dubai, and I had picked up smoking at this point. Mm-hmm. I'd become a smoker. You know, don't do it. If you, this is a PSA real quick. If you've not done it, don't do it. It's so hard to get off it. Okay.
Cigarettes.
But yes. Yes. In this story anyways. So then, I had gone back to Dubai, and I remember being, you know, I'm whatever, 21. I know what's good for me. I know I make my own choices. I'm a man. And, like, I would just bluntly be like, yeah, I smoke now, to, like, people I knew. And I remember, you know, my mom kind of talking to me later, being like, why are you telling people? Like, you don't, you know, you avoid doing it in front of them if you can. I was like, but, like, this is, you know, I'm not ashamed of who I am. But then now looking back, I'm like, ah, I kind of see what she was trying to do there. Trying to, you know, it's none of their business. but also people can talk. And I definitely found out that people did start talking about me picking up this new habit. So I kind of see what Hillary did, because I've done something like that before. But it's like, I don't care. I'm proud of who I am. I'm confident in who I am. I dropped out. It wasn't for me. That's it. And, you know, and Viv sees this a little bit like self-sabotaging.
Yeah, like, and Viv feels like she's, like, in a way, the way they move mountains for Will, this is what they're trying to do for Hillary. Like, she's like, I'm setting all this stuff up and you're just shooting me down. But Hillary's telling her, like, I don't need you to create opportunities for me. I can create them for myself. So there's a lot going on here at the same time, right? So Aunt Viv is talking to her sorority sisters about Hillary and her sense of entitlement. And, like, this new generation, you know, they just think everybody's going to give everything to them, blah, blah, blah. But, like, as this is happening, one of Viv's sorority sisters walk up and they're like, no, she really is entitled and she owes me an apology. Like, I'm entitled to an apology from her because we talked about this. We said last podcast, like, hey, that thing that Hillary did where she was on live blasting Huck Cuisine about, like, the way they handled her and, like, how it could have been, like, racially charged. She did that and she name dropped the company and she basically told, like, all her followers that they not to mess with them. And this is, like, already backfired on Aunt Viv because it was her sorority sister who did this for her. And so the sorority sister's like, I need an apology now. And Hillary basically says, nope, I'm not doing it. And I kind of felt so embarrassed, actually, for Aunt Viv because I'm like, Hillary, you could play ball. You could just, like, throw her a bone. But why would you embarrass her in front of her sorority sister like this? Like, she's mortified. But what did you think? Like, is Hillary making, like, she's making some choices, but in this particular moment, how'd you feel about how she handled it?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I feel like, you know, the generation before us, their MO was, I'm going to go through all these things so that my children don't have to, you know, it's like, and like my parents every day, anytime I talk to them, they would hit me with the speech of, you know, everything I did was for you two, was for you and your sister. We did this so that you have this life. And we are appreciative. But then also, you know, parents do have a tendency to be like, okay, but do this, or don't do it that way. Or, okay, do go to this school, don't go to that school. They can't help themselves. They want what's best for you. But Hillary wants to get out of her parents' shadow. And seeing how successful, look at how successful Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil are. They literally have their own things going on at the same time. They're hosting these things. They've got this, like, rich connection, big, deep pool. And Hillary kind of wants to do her own thing, which is admirable, but also, especially in this instance, you are actively burning bridges your mom built, and that is not good. That is not nice, right? You're like, do your own thing, but don't burn bridges. You can easily do that. And while we said that the video was too much, Hillary, again, I think she did a little, she did, I understand, I'm all for us all as individuals trying to strive to be a better version of ourselves, go the path we want to, create our own narrative. But then we can't be hurting other people in the process.
Exactly. You know, like, stand up for what's right, but also that's your mama, you know, like, like, throw her a bone. Yeah. So things aren't going great with the sorority, but we check back in with the fraternity and we see that eventually Reverend Lamont is ready to talk to Uncle Phil in front of everyone, actually, about endorsing him for the DA. Also, at the same time, Carlton is talking to the funeral king about the internship. So Uncle Phil is having a difficult time because Reverend Lamont is basically telling him that, like, hey, while you've been out making your money, the frat has been doing the work, right? We're doing the thing that you signed up for. And we've been raising money for different things. Like, we have a soup kitchen. Like, one of the other fraternity brothers got sick. And we've been donating and raising money and all this other stuff. While you, billionaire banks, have been nowhere found, just out counting your money. And I know this is driving them crazy because, like, you are a billionaire. Like, I mean, you're probably not a billionaire, but you have a ton of money and we're out here, like, doing fundraisers. You have the funds and at the very least you have the connections that could have made this a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? And so I know why they're frustrated. I've seen it a million times and being a part of a fraternity, like, where, like, somebody that you think would be giving all this stuff. Like, I have basketball members a part of my fraternity. Like I said, Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, like a bunch of big names are part of my fraternity, but also like smaller name celebrities and like rich people as well, like who just make a normal, like rich person's living. But a lot of times you don't see those people out in the trenches, you know, when you're at the soup kitchen and stuff like that. They're too busy. They're too rich for that. So I see it. I've seen this all the time and I understand their frustration. Puya, my question for you is, well, when you make it big, will you forget about our brotherhood? Like, are we? Wait, am I getting lost in the shuffle?
Hell no. I mean, I've always said this about like my Twitch streaming in particular, of that I don't care how big it gets and how successful it gets. Obviously, that's good for many different reasons, but I'm never going to forget the community I built before that happened, because that is the foundation to who I am and what I built. That is, you know, that is where it all began, and that was an important part, because in order to sustain and keep the positivity and keep the movement going, I needed that foundation, and that was my people. So no, I'm definitely never gonna forget you, forget anyone else that I know now. You call me Carlton one more time, I'll forget you real quick. But besides that, we're good.
I'm just trying to be your Jeffrey. I'm trying to be the house manager. You make all the money and have the fancy stuff, and I'm just trying to sit around and drink bourbon and shoot pool. You know what I'm saying? Dude,
you know, in this dynamic, you're the one that's going to be Uncle Phil in it. I'm going to be the Jeffrey, and it's going to be delightful.
Whatever. So yeah, Reverend Lamont points out that, like, it is in front of all the alphas, that Uncle Phil basically only showed up because he needed something, and woo, again, triggering. And so now he can't endorse his campaign. He's like, I could have endorsed Yamacraw, but this billionaire Banks, I don't know him. And so Uncle Phil basically got ripped to shreds in front of everybody, and even Will notices. But honestly, it seems like all Uncle Phil could do is leave, because there's so much truth to what Reverend Lamont is saying. So it's tough for me to watch that, but I think he needed to hear it. Meanwhile, at the sorority function, Hillary is playing her video for Aunt Viv's sorority sisters, and the ladies are actually proud of her. So it's taking a shift here for Hillary. She doesn't feel like she needs to apologize for speaking her truth, and they all really seem very supportive, except Aunt Viv. So this is where I'm kind of like, what's happening here? Because they say it's beautiful. This new generation won't stand for subtle racism. They won't deal with the things we had to deal with. But Aunt Viv is like, but you got to use some tact, right? There's a place and time to do things. So who is right here, Puya? Pick a side.
I mean, okay. So if I'm looking at it from the parents' POV, and Viv is right in sticking to her guns. I remember when I was younger and I'd be hanging out with my little cousins, we would try and figure out, okay, we kind of want to turn this hangout into a sleepover. And we always strategically said, okay, if we go to your mom will approve. This mom might be a little bit more hesitant, but then she might be able to like convince this mom to do it. And it was always the mom that was objecting would always double or triple down, because she can't give way of her, like, you know, her thoughts about her kid to someone else. She wouldn't do it. So I feel like that's what Aunt Viv's doing here, where everyone else is feeling like, Hillary, this was empowering. You stood by something you believed in. Yes, they were wrong for that. They were wrong to tell you to do these things. And we love you keeping it real. But Aunt Viv's like, no, I've raised you to take opportunities when they're presented and to network and to, you know, expand your horizons without putting others down, and you're not doing it my way. I don't like that. I feel like if this was someone else's kid, and Viv low-key would have probably been like, yes, you did the right thing. Screw them. So yeah, it's just her kid. She can't do that.
Right. And it doesn't help that it's been 2 years of Hillary living basically in the pool house, just chilling. Like she's trying to make a way for herself. Right. Like, I want to make my own choices. I think I can do all this on my own. But you live here on my bills. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like you really overstepping, you know? And so they end up arguing about that. And Aunt Viv says, like, if I was controlling your life, you would be way better off. But Hillary's making it clear that she's just here to do stuff her own way. And I can tell this isn't going to end well at all.
And you brought up a good point in that she dropped out of school. She stopped going to school. And I think that's something that parents might have a hard time with. But if Viv did struggle with that, but still gave her undying support, and then still Hillary's not listening to her, then at some point she's going to feel that disrespect. And I think the fact that Hillary just turned down a whole ass career with them, she feels a little slighted. She feels like, well,
we said everything's cool on the premise that you would then build into something, and so far you've not. So that makes me also think that Hillary's like current thing she's doing is not monetized, is what I'm feeling. Like, she is an influencer, but without the money that's going to get dished out for it, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, she's probably getting some money, but she hasn't been able to flip this into a real hustle yet. And of course, and Viv was like, well, when you going to do that? And she's been giving her chance after chance to go make a name for herself and even trying to build those bridges for her. But Hillary's like, I can do it on my own. The problem is you have not been successful thus far. And I think Aunt Viv is just tired of carrying you, but also dealing with your attitude too. So there's a lot going on there. And I don't disagree with Aunt Viv. Like, Hillary, like, she's doing so much for you. You got to throw her a bone, but it's just not working out right now.
No. Also, where is Ashley? Is Ashley on the show?
Purple Ashley. Ashley is she's like, I don't know. I have no clue what we're going to get from Ashley.
She was on 4 minutes of the premiere, and that's it. She does not exist anymore.
I need the sunflower dance. I need, like, you are my sunshine, all this. Like, give me that. And then I don't have to see Ashley again, I promise. Maybe season two or three.
Yeah, speaking of the original, I wanted to ask you this when you were explaining the fraternities to me. Do you remember, I don't remember which season was that one episode in that season where Will and Carlton both pledged for the same frat and they were clearly stringing Carlton along to make a mockery of him because he was not black enough for them? Do you remember this episode?
I do. I do remember that because they wanted Will, basically. But, yes, like, Carlton was there as well. And I think it's called Blood is Thicker Than Mud, right? And so, like, they have them all online and they're asking them to do a bunch of stupid stuff. But they basically are just, like, picking on Carlton, you know? And I think, what was it? Like, Rush Week, and they're doing all this, like, extra stuff. But it wasn't this particular fraternity, but it's definitely, like, a shout to ask that, for sure.
Was if this was the same fraternity. Okay.
No. I think, yeah, that was, either, like, a fictional one or, like, a different one that just isn't involved in this. Okay. For the people who are, like, uninitiated, like, the fraternities get really touchy-feely about, like, their, like, organization being shown and stuff like that. Like, it's a lot of red tape there.
I mean, I learned this through your Insecure coverage that this is something that, like, they might put up fictional ones because they don't want to, you know, make actual ones look negative.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you're not a member, then you probably can't, like, we won't see you wearing the letters or doing the hand signs or doing the stepping and stuff like that.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they're all incorporated organizations as well. So it's like, you will find legal action. You know, I think in This Is Us, I think I talked about that on that particular podcast, Sterling K. Brown's character pledged my organization. Mm-hmm. But I don't think at any point was he wearing the letters. You know, it's very much like he could wear purple and gold, but you can't wear those letters unless we sign off on it. And so, yeah, very similar. Good eye, Puya. Good eye.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, speaking of the Alphas, Carlton's interview with the Funeral King seems to be going way better than Uncle Phil's meeting with Reverend Lamont. Yes. And Will ends up interrupting Carlton to be like, hey, we got to go. But something catches Will's attention, and he stands there awkwardly for a good, like, 45, 50 seconds, not saying anything. Because he has a plan, right? And he darts off to go handle something, but not before saying, like, hey, Carlton's a good guy. You'd be lucky to have him. The Funeral King is like, good to know. But also, I'm not even on that board anymore for that internship. So I can put in a good word for you, but I really don't have the pool that you think I have. In fact, Derek, the guy you've been ignoring all night, the one who wanted you to move the tables and the chairs, yeah, he's in charge of that now. And so I think at this moment, Puya Carlton knows he messed up.
He fumbled the bag big time. He was essentially pushed to the right person, neglected that person, focused on the wrong person, and now has wasted his time, essentially, for better or for worse. And in the meantime, Will ended up looking at the some of the frat members, and then it's clearly something's brewing in his head. He has come up with a big plan, and I was very nervous for this plan.
Yeah, and so, again, this is a very touchy subject for the fraternity members. I can speak for mine, for sure. We have a reputation for being a little hostile, Puya. I'm not going to lie to you. But
okay.
We can talk about it off air, but, you know, we just don't mess with us like that, you know? And so for Will to jump up on stage, demand his attention with this grand gesture, and, like, to kind of not mock the organization, but definitely try to hype them up. Like, I think somebody even asked, like, says, I'll snatch your skinny ass down off that stage, you know, like, that, like, in my organization, somebody's definitely going to threaten to snatch your skinny ass off the stage if you do something like that.
I was so curious because, like, I don't understand, right? So when he was doing this, immediately one of the former, I think not former frat members, but one of the older members the got older, up and said, Phil, you better get your nephew before we drag his skinny ass out of here. I was like, what do you do? He just got on stage. I guess you can't do that, eh?
Yeah, no, it's very touchy. Like I said, if the fraternity can do these things and you cannot, you know, it's kind of like that. And it's
like, I see.
Is not your, and you are here as a volunteer. So it's kind of like, this is not your function. And like, so you gotta
earn the right to be able to do all this.
Exactly. But it also feels like we don't know if you're trying to mock the organization or not, right? And so, like, there are tons of clips of people, like, kind of like seeing it and wanting to emulate it, but it's not taken kindly. Like, there's a time and a place for that kind of stuff, and it's definitely once you become a member, but this is not the time or the place. This is very, like, I was like awkwardly just kind of like, oh god, like, they're gonna get Will. He's like about to get in trouble. But what Will is trying to do here is to get Uncle Phil to prove that he's still in touch with the fraternity. And so he calls up the other frat members, basically, and Uncle Phil to step, and they set it out. It was cute or whatever. I'm only going to give it so much praise. He did what needed to be done. And this reminds the fraternity that it's still in his heart, right? Like, this is something that he still believes in, because I think from our point of view, these, like, steppers and stuff like that, like, if you are an older member and you can still, like muster up that energy, it's like, yeah, you still believe in, like, the core tenets of this thing, right? And so I think that is what ends up, like, indoctrinating him, like, back into the fold, kind of, like, and Reverend Lamont, like, wins him over. Like, everybody seems to, like, they're chanting Yamacraw, you know, like, they are, like, really hyping him up. And I was rolling my eyes the whole time, like, he aight, you know what I'm saying? And so this definitely worked. So now things are going in Uncle Phil's, like in his favor, while Aunt Viv is struggling with the sorority. So yeah, at the house, the sorority sisters are like, on the way out, they're like, hey, this art you used to do, Aunt Viv, this is wild. Like, you were so good. Like, you got to get back in the game. And we know now that Hillary is the reason why. I think this woman, Joan, she thinks that, like, it's Uncle Phil. You know, didn't marry Uncle Phil. You know, you have to give it up to be a wife and all this other stuff. But before they can finish their conversation, Will and Uncle Phil walk in and they share the good news about Yamacraw being back, right? Like, he's back in with the fold. It was a success. They're stepping together. Again, something you can do with a child if you are in the organization in the privacy of your own home. No one will get offended. But Carlton, on the other hand, is clearly not involved in this. Like, he's not enthused. He had a bad day. And Puya, what is this moment between Jeffrey and the sorority sister, Ms. Joan? Like, what was that? Because all of that was exciting, but your boy, was he shooting a shot?
He got game. He got game. So earlier, when they were shooting pool, he talked about, he told Uncle Phil that he was going to go to a, like, sailing with someone he met during yoga. And Uncle Phil was like, yoga? He's like, yoga.
Yeah, she's flexible. Then,
yeah. And then Joan pulls up. I mean, Jeffrey pulls up here and, you know, Joan kind of says hello to him, looking good as ever. And he says, Joan, I'm just trying to keep up with you. It's like, relax, Jeffrey, relax.
Nah, he applying pressure, but Joan kind of walks off on him. So I was like, is this a past thing? Are they trying to, is this a new thing?
It
what do
feels
you think?
Like it was a thing. It was a thing. It was a former thing. And she just dips at the minute he says that.
Yeah, Jeffrey might be in the doghouse a little bit there, but he's smooth. So he's trying to work his way back into her good graces, it seems. Hopefully we get more of that.
Yeah, I really do think we're going to get a Jeffrey Will dynamic. Remember that first episode where they shared their love of basketball? I think Jeffrey and Will are going to have some scenes coming up, and I'm looking forward to those a lot.
Yeah, they're gonna go out pulling. They're gonna be on the honey. I would like to see it. Yeah. In this moment, that caught my eye, but also Carlton is definitely catching my attention here because he basically throws a fit and goes upstairs. He's like, I don't even want the stupid internship anymore, blah blah blah. He doesn't even like explain that it's basically his fault that this didn't work out for him. And so they don't even pursue it, though. Carlton goes upstairs, but they're so distracted by, you know, the success of Uncle Phil and the drama with Hillary that Carlton, you know, their first priority, kind of just gets let to go storm off upstairs. Uncle Phil and Viv say, like, we got to talk about this Hillary thing ASAP. And so while Carlton is upstairs sulking, Puya, you know this is my favorite moment of the episode, our boy Will is upstairs because his mom has sent his stuff, including his shoe collection. Now, Puya.
Yes.
Now listen, in this pile of shoes, I saw some gems, but the shoes he landed on, the Jordan 5s, the retro alternate Bel Airs, the literal Bel Airs on the show Bel Air. I was like, it had to be done. Y'all are geniuses. Where's the Emmy? Where's the Emmy for the writers of the show? Because he needed it. Will is so happy to have these Bel Airs. I'm jealous because I do not have the Bel Airs. I didn't want them in the moment. I'm not a big five person, but seeing Will with them now, I'm like, am I a big five person? And so, like, yeah, this was my scene. I was happy. And Will thinks, like, now I got my shoes and I can really ball. What you think about all of this?
They looked amazing. And I looked them up. Amazing. I may have looked them up to see what the price is. They're about going for $200 right now. It's not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, well, honestly, the thing is, Chappelle, for the longest time in my life, I owned like two shoes at a time, right? I got my winter boots, I got my sneakers for the summer, winter boots in the winter. I know you have more than two, right?
Oh, yes.
And to me, I always, you know, would hear about sneakerheads, or I would see people with like hella shoe collection. And my thought was, how do you keep them from getting scuffed? And how do you keep them from like bending too much and getting like wrinkled? It seems stressful to manage all these shoes.
It can be. And make no mistake, growing up, I had no shoes. Like I was a 2 for $89 guy. Like you go in and get two pairs.
Oh,
you get,
that was like, so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Foot Action, we had a thing like Champs, like 2 for $89. That was my bag. But like, also I kind of grew up in a different neighborhood. I saw somebody get their shoes snatched off their feet at the bus stop one time. And I was standing right next to them and then had to walk home with that person walking next to me barefoot. So
that's when you start buying Shaqs so that one would want your shoes.
Nobody Pay wanted less. My Converse. Nobody wanted those Chucks I was wearing. Nobody. So I was safe. But, you know, when I got older, I thought, you know, got a little money and I'm also not terrified to stand at the bus stop. Also not standing at the bus stop. So I could treat myself a little bit. So that's my shoe origin story. But it's okay, Puya. We're going to get you laced up. Anyway, back at school, we finally get to these sporting events that we've been talking about this entire time, right? And neither is going great. I'm not going to lie to you. Because although Will is kind of like, he's on the bench, he's not starting. Carlton's struggling because he sees that nobody is at the game. Like, not even his family. But, like, nobody. Seriously, there was nobody in the crowd.
There's, like, 10 people there, and seven of them were the bench and the coach. Like, no one's at this lacrosse game that's out on the outside field. And Will's on the bench, and his team goes down 8-0 before coach even bats an eye at Will.
Right. And so this is all disastrous. But the real main event, you called it the undercard, but the real main event is Aunt Viv versus Hillary. Because Aunt Viv has had it. She's like, I'm going to use every moment to tell Hillary how ungrateful she is. And to basically tell her that, like, if you want to do things on your own, you're going to do it without my support. And Hillary calls her on it. She's like, okay, that's cool. And I know Hillary in this moment is trying to stand her ground. But honestly, if Aunt Viv is about that life, Hillary, you might not have any access to that pool house. You know what I'm saying? Like, you said you could do this on your own. You ain't got no job. How you going to pay rent? So I'm worried about it. I'm not going to lie to you, Puya.
I'm definitely sweating it out a little bit for Hillary here. I don't know where she goes next. I wonder if she, you know, I don't know. Because I feel like we're about to go episode 4 and she's already getting kicked out. We don't know
if she's officially getting kicked out, but she definitely, it seems like
threatened.
It's going that way.
She's been threatened with an eviction notice, potentially. Uncle Phil may, you know, set Aunt Viv back up, like, no, don't do this. Like, let's, you know, let's talk to her more. They might have a deep conversation. They might sort it out. But then my question to you is, do you think we're going to find or have a Trevor on this season?
Oh my
on
God.
This season for Hillary?
I don't mind there being a Trevor, but if he comes to the end like the same, like the last Trevor did, I can't do it, Puya.
No, you can't do that on a non-sitcom. Like, that's not going to fly. I don't have the heart and stomach for that. There's no way.
I can't do it. So we will see. But yeah, one of the things I took from this moment definitely is that, like, Hillary, on the way like out, as this conversation is kind of ending, she asked Aunt Viv, like, well, if you're so passionate about your art, then why did you walk away from it? And I'm like screaming, like, Hillary, it was you. You are the reason why she walked away from it. She wanted to be a mother. It's crazy that you're being this ungrateful. But they're distracted, right? Because Will has finally got into the game. And Like, okay, Puya, what's happening? Like, Will's just in, he's in the zone, right?
He's in the zone. Him and this other their star player on the other team kind of share a couple words of like, you're not really from this like district, right? Yes, you're not really from Bel Air, are you? So they like have this immediate bond and rivalry start up. Will is basically the best player, obviously. Mm. It goes without saying. He's hitting them with the layups. He's hitting them with the alley-oops. And like, what is Tyler like 6'8"? The dude's dunking. And I'm like, you're balling. Like, he is going nuts. He had at least three dunks. I was like, okay, yeah. Tyler, you do you. And no, Will is bringing them back into the game. They're like trailing by a couple points pretty much almost all the way through. And then meanwhile, in the other game, Carlton like essentially fouls out after a very big personal hit and gets kicked out of his game. So these are both going side by side. They're like quickly going back to Carlton, then back to us with Will. And while Will is balling out, killing it, Carlton's in his own head and gets ejected.
Yeah. And Carlton goes kicking and screaming. Like, he's like cussing out the ref, cussing out the coach, just cussing in general. I mean, he's like, F-bomb here, F-bomb there. Like, screw you, this, that, and other. I was like, where'd this come from? Like, at some point, someone has to say, oh, something's wrong with Carlton, right? Because this is not the Carlton we've heard about.
No.
Yeah. It seemed like anxiety is back, right? Because he is like sweating bullets. I mean, he was playing a sport, but like, this looks bad. Like, this looks like a panic attack or something. He ends up storming into the locker room and he is desperate for Xanax?
Being Xanax question mark? Yeah, whatever's in that, whatever substance is in that container that he's been using from episode one, which we still don't know for sure. Yeah, there's that. There's him like yelling out, cussing to like nobody. I think it's a lot of built up anger that he doesn't want to push out, and he represses it by having the Xanax or whatever that is. And instead of like dealing with his problems or confronting Will, confronting anybody that's frustrating him, he's trying to remain calm. And the only way he can do that is using this stuff. So also, I want to say the fact that Will gets caught with the drugs in his bag, why does Carlton just have the drugs sitting in his locker like no one's going to ever come here and look at it?
It's just Xanax, Puya. It was prescribed for him, duh. Like, it's definitely not something that he's snorting illegally, you know?
Right. I mean, also, right. You know, I am not an expert in any means. I feel like if you get prescribed Xanax, they don't prescribe like, say, all right, snort two lines a day. That's not how that is applied. It's like,
do a bump before class, you'll be all right.
Yeah, it's like, all right, do a little key bump here and then do a little key bump after class. Like, that's not how that goes.
Yeah, like there needs to be a prescription bottle somewhere here. But this is Carlton. No one would ever check his locker for something like this, right? That'd be crazy. Right. He's the prince of the whole school. So yeah, that's happening. And Carlton finally goes to the basketball game. And this is when he notices that the same family that said they were going to put him first, that he was the number one priority and stuff like that, they never even showed up to his game because Will's game was so gripping. It's coming down to the final moments. They do like a final shot. Will sinks the shot at the buzzer. It goes in. The crowd goes wild. Like, everybody's screaming. They're hoisting him up in the air. It's slow motion. It's like the most triumphant thing. I think you even see, like, Uncle Phil is like, that's my nephew. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And Carlton is sick. I mean, this got to be his worst nightmare, right?
This is everything he imagined, and it's become real now. You know, all his... you can tell all his moments of being upset, seeing Will with Phil, seeing Will at the crawfish boil, all of it amounted to his worst nightmare, which is Will essentially taking his spot not only at his school, but with his family. He feels replaced. He feels one-upped. He feels like he's second place. And not only is he not used to that, he's losing to Will. Will, who he saw and he is called a thug. Will, who he is called someone unfortunate. Someone who, you know, doesn't know A, B, C, D, E, F. That guy's besting you right now. He's literally now the star athlete of your school. He just hit a sweet Dame Lillard three-point buzzer beater on them. He's killing it. And you got ejected from your game, and there were like seven people there. So he's feeling all the envy. Also, Lisa's at this game, not at the lacrosse game. Let it be known.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's not in a good place. And honestly, this might be the first instance where I've felt some sympathy for Carlton. Not because he's being a douche with his energy. He's being a douche during his anger. But I don't want anyone to feel like they're being replaced. That's sad.
Yeah, like he sucks, but also, like, you don't deserve this. And he's also just a kid. You know, I've been very hard on him, but this got to be tough, right? Like, your family basically lied to you and told you they were coming to your game, and they didn't. But to their point, like, I mean, to their credit, I mean, they would have just seen you get ejected. Maybe he wouldn't even have played as bad if he had that support there. We never know. And so, yeah, this is tough to watch from for Carlton, but also, like, it's very triumphant for Will. So, Will's best moment is Carlton's worst nightmare. Unfortunately, though, back in Philly, Puya, Will's worst nightmare might be about to come and get him, because Rashad has seen the national attention that Will has gotten, right? Because I don't even know if this is national attention, but if you did a quick Google search for Will Smith, aside from, you know, the one that we know and love as the rapper, you know, this is the guy who popped up, right? Like, I don't know if they have Google alerts or if this is just big news, because he's such a big athlete and this is a big moment for Bel Air basketball. You have to wonder that they weren't that great before Will showed up. Now, Philly knows exactly where he is. Rashad knows where he is. It's on his radar. And now they could be out to get Will. And Puya, that is how we end the episode.
I am terrified. Terrified. Because, you know, genuinely what I thought was going to happen, like I said earlier, I didn't expect the show to give us, like, realism in that obviously there's the internet. Obviously they're going to find a highlight reel of him on Insta or some website. They're going to Google search him. I thought they'd pretend the internet isn't really that effective, you know? Mm-hmm. But not only is it effective, we're only on episode 3 and Rashad knows where Will is, which makes me think, Chappelle, this has to end in this season with either Rashad getting, like, apprehended or, like, killed by someone. Like, let's do a wild prediction. This is a drama. It's a dark show.
Go for it.
Uncle Phil eliminates Rashad.
Oh my gosh. Nah, let me do one better for you. Jeffrey does it.
No.
Yes.
Oh God, no.
Yes. Our boy just, like, because, you know, Jeffrey got passed. We don't know. We don't know what's going on here. Jeffrey had to, like, go in his bag real quick and save his boy. Puya, yeah, between the Carlton drama and the Will drama, like, that is like that's the undercard here, but, like, the real drama is how do both of these two people coexist in the world together? When Rashad has made, like, Will stop at nothing to make sure that Will is dead and he knows where Will is, and so this cannot end well for Rashad, or it cannot end well for Will. We don't know how many seasons this show is going to get, so it could end tragically.
It's guaranteed 2. It got picked up by Peacock for 2, so we're at least getting one more after this.
Yeah, we got one more. Hopefully, we get no more Rashad after this one. So I'm not wishing that he dies. I just don't want him on the show anymore. And that can happen however you want it to happen.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like low-key, I'm more comfortable with the drama being a lot less, like, life-threatening for anybody involved. And Rashad is giving us only that. So I'm okay with, once we wrap up the Rashad business, I'm okay with the drama being like, ooh, is Hillary going to get the new job? Is Carlton going to finally be able to be okay with Will being there? Is Will gonna get Lisa? Give me a little more light stake drama. Is Jeffrey gonna end up with Joan again? Like, what's gonna happen?
Yes, give us a Jeffrey Jones spinoff. That's what we need. Puya, this was an amazing episode. I am very excited for the next one. But in the meantime, Puya, tell everybody where they can find you, what you're working on, and then we'll start to wrap this up.
Sounds good. Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. You can find me over on the RHAP network covering 90 Day Fiancé with Rob Sesternino, Masked Singer with Liana Boris starting March 9th, and Big Brother. Big Brother Canada is about to start. Big Brother Celebrity just ended. You can find me talking about both of those on the RHAP network as well. And then obviously you'll be right back here talking episode 4 with us when we get there.
Yes, exactly. Puya and I have a Big Brother Canada draft coming up soon, and so we got to go and pick some people. That'll be, I believe, this Sunday on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. Also on Rob Has a Podcast, you can check out my other show, Nothing But Netflix, with Rob Sesternino, as we talk about random Netflix shows. This week, I believe our show is The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and so check that out if you get a chance, because it should be wild. I heard it's a goofy interpretation of the original story, and so I'm looking forward to talking about that with Rob. Also, I'll be on Rob and Akiva Anita podcast this week to talk about the pickup artists. And so check that out as well. And then every week on Post Show Recaps, I'm still talking about The Walking Dead with Jessica Lease. Josh Wigler and AJ Mass. I think Josh won't be with us this coming week, but we're going to have a good time regardless. And so check me out wherever we are. Check out Puya at Puyaism. Check out me at Chappelle's_show. And then check us out for the next episode. I believe it's called Canvas. So until you hear from us again, keep watching Bel Air. Keep giving us feedback. Keep leaving those reviews. And we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.